Hey, before we begin the episode, I just wanted to announce that 5GMs will be donating 100% of our merch profits to a local charity that supports immigrants starting today. Each month, we'll announce on our socials which charity we'll be donating to. If you've been eyeing a new hat for the summer or a new hoodie to keep you warm, now your purchase will go to a good cause. You can visit the number 5GMsinatrenchcoat.bigcartel.com today to make your purchase. Thank you.
Gather round and listen in as five friends take turns weaving stories through the tabletop game of their choice. This is 5GMs in a Trench Coat.
Hello everybody and welcome to 5GMs in a Trench Coat. This has been season 5. We're taking a little break. Kim, what are we doing today?
We're talking.
What are we talking about?
I also just really want to talk about season five so far.
That's where I'm at.
You guys don't want to talk about the current political climate?
So we all morph into white guys with a microphone in front of us and a podcast.
So you don't see the vision. But yeah, we're doing a talk back. We're going to answer some questions that we have about season five. We're going to kind of touch base with each other about season five. But we're also going to take in some viewer and listener questions and see how they feel about season five thus far.
I hate you. The first one.
Yeah. Do we want to start with...
Do you want to start with a question?
Well, I was... Oh, yeah. I guess we can kind of do this however we want. Yeah, it's fully open format.
It's open forum. It's also our show.
Yeah. I think we should do a question first. And then after that, let's group talk. And then I think we should definitely close out with questions.
Okay. We'll start with one to get us started off.
Lubed up.
Oh.
I'm lubed.
Ben.
Heavily.
All right. Let's roll a d10.
Jesse.
Open that
map. We know it's going to be a 1 if I roll it.
Jesse.
Well, open it.
Get the piss die. Piss dice.
That's what I was thinking, but he's not choosing the piss die.
Damn it.
That's like really hard to read.
Maybe
Jesse.
That's what his piss looks like.
Piss these ones are hard to read.
Get one of the yellow dice, please, so they can stop.
So we need a d10?
Yeah, d10, d10.
Oh my god. For those of you at home, Jesse just can't get dice. I guess he can't.
Look, my hands are bad. Okay, should I roll or is someone else?
Yeah, you got it. It's gotta be a one.
Oh, it's a five.
Oh, interesting. Right down the middle. Jesse in his median era.
What?
I left my dice square. What is it called?
Tray.
Box? Yes, dice tray. My rolling tray.
My cube. My dice cube.
My dice square. My square.
Are you ready?
Yes.
My 3D shape with four angles. My dice 3D shape with four angles. Sorry.
Okay, to start us off, which episode has meant the most to your character? I'm curious from your perspective, though. What episode has meant the most to you as a GM? We'll morph it for you to be included in the conversation. In case for the audience, Adam's mogging at me.
Yeah,
I'm
mogging
scared.
Him right now.
Yeah.
I'll go first. Just kind of a quick one. We've done a lot of episodes this far that have been like really phenomenal and fun. I think it was really special, the hotel episodes, where we finally got to flesh out your guys' stuff, and I got to be a little mean to some of your characters.
A little mean.
Some of our characters.
But I think this far, like, one that's been, like, really special to me were those first two, the
Goo Babies?
Yeah, when you guys were Goo Babies, and when we went to summer camp for the first time, a nickname I had growing up was Curbster, because I got curbsided so often, which means that I was just being left places pretty often. And so I've always kind of had to like find people or find ways to like hang out and have fun in different spaces. And I did do a lot of like summer camps and like park camps and things like that. And so it was very special to me to watch you guys play through something like that and just sort of get to see those experiences put onto this platform that I love and that I've loved to get to make for. So that was very cool to me. I think they were just phenomenal episodes that set the tone in a fun way.
I love those episodes.
Oh, they're so fun. They're so good. Listening back to them.
I love the little Goo Babies. Oh, God, this one's kind of hard because I'm like, there's certain points in like a series of episodes in which I'm like, this was an important point. Do either of you have an answer?
I want to say episode 3. Coming off the heels of the camp, I think for Javier, it's
it's the most like it informs his character a lot, and it's still yet to be resolved. So I'm excited for when that happens.
Whenever that possibly could ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me it's him. It's not him. It's Zeke's decision to try to stay in the hotel room with the woman, because he's a very passive character and he was like getting pulled, and I think that's like his first like real decision to like push against, you know.
No, that's a good one.
I feel like Zeke took a lot of control of that situation, as very little control of that situation you guys had.
Mm-hmm.
Zeke took those sleeping pills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Found that woman, helped that woman, but also was willing to stay, but then also like found you, got in there, helped you, and like walked with you
got
through
up
your
in
own
there.
Issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it was definitely like you were saying, like Zeke's very passive, and it was the most like we've really seen Zeke take control of the situation. I really enjoyed it.
It was true.
Jesse, I love you.
Dude, Jesse,
get naked, dude.
That's what I was gonna say,
let's get Jesse naked. Let's shave him. Just fully.
It's gonna take a while.
Let's wax him.
Cover him in
Jesse,
butter.
How do you feel about Nair?
I have a lot of opinions about Nair, actually.
Oh.
My hair is so bad, it's a medical problem. So actually, shaving me might be helpful.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we got you.
My cousin shaving
you will suck after a day.
My cousin used Nair one time on her legs and broke out in like blisters and hives that like burst. Ooh. It was bad. She got like burns on her legs, mm-hmm. like chemical burns.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's chemicals. Yeah.
Yeah. It is chemicals. I think I keep going back and forth between the hotel one and also I think the dream one we had right before we go into that slew of freaking hotel episodes, because I think that one is really important to show like, just kind of. Like, sort of on the road to forgiveness to Javi before that actually happens. Mm-hmm. And also her sort of seeing, like, the end point of all of this and kind of, like, the reason why it's all happening, really. And so I think I'm kind of between... I think that one is that... And I also just had a lot of fun doing that one. But, yeah, I think that point kind of shows a lot of, like, what, in that point of the story, Clem is thinking about and what she's hoping for. And I think that kind of shows a lot.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like those are all like great answers and good episodes. I love you guys. For listeners to know, we haven't recorded in like 3 months.
I think the last time we recorded was January 4th.
So 2 months.
Yeah, it's been 2 months.
And so we've just been really busy and like nothing crazy
it's
going
just been
on.
Life.
The podcast isn't ending, but we just haven't had a chance to record.
Imagine this was an announcement the podcast is ending.
It's over.
And amazingly, as we've set ourselves up here, is we tend to have like weeks of episodes logged in advance. And so we were able to not record and it's been fairly, doable. But we have, we're recording today, so we were just all very like, oh my god, I miss you guys.
I love you guys.
I love Except my
Jesse,
friends. Yeah.
No, I said I missed you guys, just probably to a lesser extent that you miss me. Because I'm a delight. Did Tamlin answer the question?
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Sorry, Jesse, you're going to put Tamlin on the spot?
Yeah. Do we actually want to just jump to another question? Because I feel like we're fleshing out a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point we can do like a player to GM questions where you guys can ask me questions about the world so far. Jesse, shall you? You have socks on, Jesse?
That was sideboard. I'm like, take your shoes off.
I'm not a whore.
I'll see your toes, dog.
No, that's for the
about
Patreon.
That.
Take your shoes off.
Curious about that. All right, next question.
Okay. Sorry, Google Forms has been doing this thing where it's like, do you want to upgrade?
Yeah, it's like, I know you're using Google Forms. Would you like AI to do that also?
And I'm like,
not really. It's like, but AI could be here while you're in Google Forms also. It's like,
yeah,
I don't need
that. I don't
that.
Want that. Tanlin, roll. 3. Ooh, okay. This one. First of all, congratulations on half a season well done. Question for Adam. Seriously, dude, what the actual fuck? What has been your inspiration for each of the supernatural elements we've seen so far in the show? And I saw this question and I went, oh boy, this is going to be fun for him
Do we have, are like, any? Is anyone submitting their name when they put these? I'm just curious.
This one is by Sky. Hi, Sky. I know you're listening. Thank you.
I've enjoyed making this season a bunch. I think that, like, I've always gotten to, like, I've watched a lot of horror growing up, and like when I was little, my mom really likes horror movies, and I didn't like them because they're loud and overwhelming, and my mom is hard of hearing, so she plays them really, really loud, so they'll be on like 60 or 70. Ugh. And so it would overwhelm me, and then she would call me a chicken shit and a little bitch. And so I grew up watching horror movies being unsettled and uneased constantly because the sound was like bugging me. But as I've gotten older, I found a lot of love for horror, and I also watch a lot of sci-fi and early horror with my grandma before her passing. And so horror has been very important to me. It's one of my favorite genres, and I also think that horror often gets conflated to this like kind of nothing genre, when in reality it's one of the most like guttural and like human genres, yeah, as much as like romance or drama is. Mm-hmm. But so a lot of what I've done is I'm looking at like different regional, like American regional, like cryptids and like ghost stories and things like that. And I've really dug into those, like specifically a specific example. So Carnival.
I heard you talking about this one with your Nina, and I had no idea this was a thing.
Yeah. So I'd have to look in my notes for the exact name of it, but it's a sort of like spirit or negative spirit or a ghost for you know, in layman's terms, that indigenous people in that area believe in, that brings like flu-like symptoms and can eventually lead to a possession. But it's just this negative amalgamation of energy that has created this negative spirit, and that make you physically sick, right? Like that is their like haunting, is that you become flu-like and sick, you get a fever, you don't feel good. And so there's just so much about the world that I think when you look through like unexplained lenses is really fascinating and weird. And so that's kind of how I've been able to dig my heels into that. Also just like personal experiences, things that make me uneasy, and I'm like, hotels have always made me uneasy, so the hotel episode was kind of like a 100% I knew we were going to a hotel at some point. And there's also so many freaky hotels in America, like the Cecil Hotel and stuff like that. Like there's so many like weird hotels. I mean I could go on and on with this question, so I'll probably just cut it off there. But yeah, I mean, just the world at large, I think there's just so many like mysteries and weird shit that we should go figure out about.
No, yeah, it's so weird. And I've been learning so much about like the weird like American like folk tales and stuff that we have, and like myths and like cryptids.
Yes, yeah.
And it's like so weird. And like when I heard you talking about that with your Nina, I dead ass went, "What? Is that true?" Yeah. And then you were telling us about it, and I was like, "That's so fascinating that, you know, so many like different of the cultures like in America have like different ways to explain certain."
Well, I think things. That's fascinating too, is that there's so many like America is such like a full of like eclectic cultures, from like indigenous to people who moved here. Like there's sects of the states that have the Appalachians, and like the Appalachians have always had weird stories about them. The indigenous people have always told stories about them. But there's,
are we gonna go there?
There's people.
No,
we're driving past. I won't allow it.
There's people that have like moved from like Scotland and Ireland into like the Appalachian regions, and those populations, they have stories that they brought. It's so interesting. There's so much. American like myths are so interesting.
They are so weird. That's so fun. Okay, I'll roll. Next question. That's another three. I'm gonna skip one. Oh, this is fun. Why is the last unicorn so important?
Because it's sick as fuck. That's why.
Yeah, that's the answer. Next question. Yeah.
It's sick as hell. No, I kind of like the sort of like lore we've been getting behind like Zeke and his sort of relationship with the last unicorn and how it relates to his relationship with his dad specifically. And that's just been really interesting to sort of watch you guys play and flesh out.
Well, I mean, one of the reasons I chose The Last Unicorn was because I know it was, like, a very important source of media at the point, and it's a big inspiration for, like, a lot of animators, especially in that time. So I was like, oh, it seems like...
nod.
Yeah.
I also... We've implied narrative importance to The Last Unicorn. There is a bunch of money in the walls of The Last Unicorn.
Yeah.
We've addressed that. Canon. Like, that's a canon thing. Yeah.
And Zeke knows that and hasn't told anybody. And I think that's so funny.
Well, it's emergency money.
It's emergency funds for a rainy day. And I also just appreciate how much like it shows Zeke's personality also. Because The Last Unicorn also has elements of other things Zeke likes.
Yes, 100%.
Of like little doodles on it. And I just think that's very silly.
Yeah, I also think there's something so special about... Tanlin will get this reference like explicitly. Danielle's truck... Because I remember Donovan, our cousin, my cousin Halen's brother, used to drive past the Cheesecake Factory that I worked at. And when he would drive through past the freeway, he would point, he'd be like, oh, like Adam's at work, because he would see the truck once my Nina had passed the truck to me. And so it's one of those things where, like, sometimes there's like a vehicle that's just like so inherent to your life where like it's taking you to practice or taking you to these places that are like, it's like, oh, like this is like a second home functionally. And Last Unicorn really is like a second home to you guys right now. And yeah. I think there's something beautiful about that. You could pick it out of lineup any day, even if it got stripped of all its paint, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. She's there.
Yeah. You want to move the next question?
Yeah. You roll now.
Oh, I roll now?
Yeah, you roll now. You're a part of this. Two.
Bail.
Oh, this is also a fun one. This is from Anna.
Anna.
Thank you, Anna. Are there any urban legends, cryptids, etc. that you're particularly drawn to that you weren't able to fit into this season? If so, which ones?
The Loch Ness Monster. The Loch Ness Monster is my favorite cryptid, and it's the first cryptid I ever learned about and got to know and loved. I've read everything you can on Loch Ness Monster. I've read all the reports of when the scientists, the biologists, take samples from Lake Loch Ness and like test it for different species. And recently there was one that there was a species of eel they didn't anticipate being in the loch, which implies that there may or may not be like underwater canals that lead to the ocean, which is very fascinating. But on top of that, those eels could get fairly large, I think up to like 5 or 6 feet, so they could potentially like have been a reason for the site for the lake, like whatever, right? Loch Ness Monster, it's not in America, I can't use it. And there's Champ from Lake Champlain in America,
yeah.
But the Loch Ness Monster is so very, like, it's one of my all-time favorites, and I was like, to talk to about is Nessie, and I wasn't able to. Also, the Scooby-Doo Loch Ness Monster movie, anybody? Anyways, that's all. Like, that's for me.
Guys.
What about you guys? Just something that you might want to see or that you haven't seen yet or that you don't think you'll see?
This is purely because I just like their design, even though they sort of creep me out. And we're already so far, but the Fresno Nightcrawlers.
Oh, yeah.
They're just a little fucks.
I hope we meet Mothman.
Mothman?
Dude.
Yeah.
Mothman.
There's one I pointedly don't want to meet.
Go on.
and I'm actually not going to say No, you know it. You know it. I don't like it. It freaks me out.
Oh, the Dover Demon.
Yeah.
Next question. Yeah, Taylan's uncomfortable.
Yeah, I go get the photo and I hold it in
your face. No. And then she dies.
Seven. Lucky number seven.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Now it's which episode has meant the most to you as a player, which is different than what it means to your character. And I have an answer because I've been wanting to talk about this one for a while.
Oh,
I haven't said much about it because I know we were going to do this and I was like, well, I can't just say it all now because then you know exactly what I'm going to say. So me personally, it's the end of episode 18 and then the entirety of 19, which is the hotel sequence stuff. It was really important for me because we, you know, officially played out like what happened between Javi, Clem, and Zeke. But also I absolutely adore the character choices that Jesse and Tamlin made in those episodes, because they're like, we kind of chatted a little bit about it. They're so like defining, I think, of each of your characters and each of our relationships to each other, because like Jesse said, Zeke is a passive character, and all of a sudden we see Zeke in this position where the last unicorn is gone and his best friend is gone and he's in dire straits and he needs to make shit happen. And so he makes shit happen. And then watching Javi, who this whole time has been very avoidant and very like very just, I can't apologize because the best way for me to handle this is to take myself out of the situation. Just kind of watch Zeke go through all of this stuff and not get it. And I was even talking to Adam about this a little bit before. I think it was right after I finished editing the episode or something like that. And Adam was like, yeah, because it's so funny because it's so easy to say sorry. And Javi will do anything except for say sorry. And he'll stand outside of a hotel room while Zeke is trying to help this poor woman in the bed who's freaking freezing and dying. And then, you know, gets yelled at. And that's what it takes for him to eventually say sorry after how many years. And I just think that was like, for me, like, as just watching you guys and like listening back to it, it was like really great to kind of see the character decisions that you both decided to make there and like how it kind of defined where we sort of ended up after the friendship had broken up. And I just thought it was really cool to like watch. And I was like, wow, look at my friends. I love my friends. Taylin's stroking her beard.
Thinking, I'm thinking. I had one and then it left me when Kim was making an amazing, like,
an amazing breakdown.
Sorry, yeah. I complimented you too hard.
Jesse, you go while I find it again.
I don't know. I think it's just kind of Zeke going through, you know, there isn't like a specific episode or anything. It's just kind of like him just kind of going along and then all this weird stuff. And it's funny in the beginning when he misses all the stuff, all the weird stuff.
Because I think we went like on a 5-episode streak of Zeke not really seeing anything weird. Yeah.
It was.
I still love Big Bird.
Yes, oh my God.
I think the best part too is that we had all discussed it and that like Zeke was supposed to be one of like the like believers. Like, oh yeah, like I'm getting on board fast. And that like Javi was supposed to be like the resistant, not like, you know, the like, oh come on, like a straight man. And very quickly, it was reversed immediately because Javi kept seeing everything.
It's going to be the ones we recorded last in the last chunk are going to be out by the time we post this, or no? When is this coming out?
I think
this
will come out first before those come out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well,
reference,
yeah. I'll talk about because I really like when Javi punched the, like went hand to hand with a fucking
grown ass man with a secret agent training.
Because I think that's who Javi really is, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I want him to be by the end of this, like to really just like be who he is, in a lot of senses. be who you are.
God damn it. Taylor, it's only like 7 words max, dude. You can't sing a full song.
Oh, sorry. No, yeah. That like his protective side, his he's strong. He's capable, and he forgets it a lot. And that's I like that personally. Me personally, I like that. Yeah.
I think also too is because like that Javi in that moment wasn't scared.
Yeah, that Javi was like.
It was action.
Yeah, like I gotta do something.
I gotta get action.
It takes a twosome to do something.
What is it? Yeah.
A
foursome to break your door some or something.
A four
like
way
that.
To bust in your doorway.
Yeah, yeah. Dude.
Sorry, we watched
this,
Zootopia 2.
This is Zootopia 2.
Yeah, we watched Zootopia 2.
Said by a lesbian beaver.
and that was actual things said so in the movie.
Making the beaver a lesbian is definitely a choice.
You know.
Bush beaver, I get
yeah,
it.
Bush beaver. I love the tent episode.
Oh, dude, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was one that we all were, like, really excited
about. It was
very
fun to record, I think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because Adam kept touching up on Jesse. And, like,
that was,
not
that
a,
was
not
fun.
A cool way, and not a cool way, in, like, a freaky way.
Yeah, like, before posting stuff was fantastic. And then the stank that Kim rubs on every single episode with the sound design is delicious. Every time I listen, I'm like, dang, she blows me away, this girl.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Sam.
Yeah.
I want to ask you guys a quick question, I think. What's like, okay, so in terms of like expectations this far into what we have ended up doing and seeing, like what's the lineup, right? Is it like you expected 80 and you got 20? Like what are we meeting your expectations? Are we going past your expectations? Are you still expecting like something more? Is there enough narrative weight? Is there not enough? You know, like what, just expectations wise, how are you guys feeling about the season? We could just start on my right.
I'm having a blast, dude. I've been looking forward to this season just because I love Adam as a GM, and not to say that I don't love everyone else as a GM. So I hate you guys. Actually, again, the announcement: the podcast is over. I'm leaving.
It's
actually,
over.
It's my
department. Oh, dude, Kim leaves. It is over, guys. Please.
Yeah, nothing's gonna get
it. Right, I've been trying to leave the podcast for so long.
Girl, what do you want about? Anyways, no. No, but I've been really looking forward to this because I just love Adam as a GM because you know he was my first GM, and then he's been our GM for ever. No, but I think he's just such a phenomenal GM in which the way he like weaves stories. And we were talking about this the other day on an interview that will probably be out after this, but there's a way in which
I wasn't part of it.
I'm sorry, we gassed you up the whole time. I don't know what you're on about. Yeah. But there's a way in which Adam makes things feel so grounded and so incredibly real that I think it's so incredibly special, and you can especially feel it with this season because of how much of his personal experiences and his love for things kind of come into this. And I think it's also really fun because I keep saying it, but I think this is one big love letter to each other. This season No, yeah, and that's exactly right. And that's exactly right.
And you love it when you
what is it? What is it? I was gonna sing like a love song. I can't remember one. So. Yeah. And now, and what is it?
There's a hole in the world.
We're all making out.
Yeah, we're all making
on mic.
Out
God damn it.
Sorry.
No, yeah, but I think that I'm having so much fun, and my expectations are through the roof because I'm having so much fun, and I think it's great. And also just getting to play out, like, because I think this is the most like heavily role-played like main season thing we've done so far, and I think that's a lot of fun to also play out because yeah, there's also just three of us now.
It has also just been mostly character work, like like,
and I love that.
I've removed a lot of the narrative weight of like a through line. Like, we have like soft through line stuff that I'm sure like some people have picked up on, and I'm sure you guys have picked up on, but like the narrative, like, we could remove that realistically and there still would be so much room for like the amount of love and like work you guys have put into this season so far. Tana?
Me. All right. Now, no, I've been excited. I like Kim. Yeah. one thing I did. Okay, because this is, it's hard to do the anthology like aspect of it. Before we like started, I was expecting each episode to be entirely separate from each other, and then it's really hard to like get into character work and stuff without having at least a few episodes like string together.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. I love it. I love being able to talk shit. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm not upset about it. It is something that I was expecting more of. But now in the later episodes, we've started to do more separate,
closed
stuff.
I'll also say, I did intend for it to be far less conjoined, right? Far less interconnected per episode, and to be a little more self-contained. But then as, like, we played and the series evolved the way in which it did, I was like, oh, no, this is – and, again, there's less of a narrative through line, but I think we found ourselves in, like, 2 to 4 episode chunks where it's, like, every couple of states or every couple of incident, there's a couple of episodes that are the chunk of that, and then we jump to the next thing.
Yeah, which I think it works perfectly, honestly.
Yeah, it's still anthological in a way, you know, like –
yeah.
Realistically, we could probably chop those episodes up and put them in one and have big episodes, you know, but it's like one of those things.
Why
that's, not,
I do
the,
that?
That's not the format of our show. But yeah, no, I...
Yeah. But I think these later episodes have started to do that, and it's been very...
Literally, fun. The 4 episodes we're going to record today are all going to be that.
Yeah, so it's fun. And I also think it goes into, like, we're, it's like a train, you know. It starts off slow. We got to get things moving.
I love the slow burn.
Yeah, we have to get things moving, and once we get things moving, everyone knows our characters. Everyone knows what's happening. Let's go. Yeah. So.
And also, like, as Adam so eloquently put it at one point, we had to get over the hobby hump before we could actually get into things. Sorting that out before any real story, like, progress had to happen.
Yeah, I had mentioned that too. I was like, the first like half of the series is going to be like the story of the group reconnecting. Like, that there's no world in which like it's not blighted by the uncomfortability that is whatever went on amongst the three, right? The hobby hump, if you will. Yeah.
Our biggest fan, Remy. Hey, Remy.
Hey, Remy. Shout out, Remy.
I don't know if he sent in a question or not, but he was telling me he's still confused about what happened.
It doesn't feel
resolved yet, at least in what has been put out. But it's not.
But it's not. Well, that's the thing.
And I'm wondering if we want to talk about it in more detail in this, or if we want to. Okay, cool. We could do that later, though. We don't have to do it right now.
Okay. We can tease them with it. You have to stick around.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm always a big lore guy and stuff. So I'm like, I kind of want to learn more about the secret organization. So.
Oh my god.
Okay. I've got you, brother. Yeah, it's coming. Don't worry.
Look.
No, because like the little bit that we have so far, I'm like, why are they doing this?
Well, so what instances have we had of seeing them so far? So they showed up in episode 2.
Mm-hmm. They showed up in episode 2.
They showed up in the town after the seal incident.
After the seal incident.
Yeah.
And then we don't see them again.
there's also a gap of missed time that you guys have from the seal incident that still has not been accounted for.
Thanks for reminding.
Yeah, a gap of lost time.
I think the next time we see them is episode...
Although I did imply what happened with that gap of lost time. I don't know if you guys picked it up or not, but I did imply what happened.
Oh, and then we see them again when...
when Javi punches one.
Yeah, at the lake.
And then gets punched by
and one. And then two attack you guys. When oh, and
man, we're like in a firefight.
Yeah, two of them took you for questioning, took Clem for questioning.
And I learned a lot there.
Yeah, two of them...
That I haven't really had time to tell you guys about entirely.
You guys have seemingly been in the clear, have not run into an agent since then, but... You ended up at the Carnival where you found out that they had been.
Yeah.
You broke into one of their like little mini facilities there. That was like a storage box.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
You guys picked up a bunch of like papers from them. I think you guys still have those.
Yes. Okay, so really fun tidbit about that is that me, Kim, knows she has the papers and why they're significant to Clem, but I keep rolling to see if she would ever look into it. And so far it hasn't been because I don't want it to be a conscious choice that I make because I know what they are. I want it to be because she all of a sudden has an inkling about it because they're important and I know why they're important. Yeah. But I'm like, I don't, just because I know, I'm not going to have Clem be like, oh, let me look at these papers. Because yeah, that's
we
not,
don't metagame here.
Yeah, we're yeah, very I'm, good at not.
Yeah, because I'm not trying to metagame because I want that to be sort of...
It's more fun to not.
It's more fun to not and sometimes leave shit up to the dice. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Oh, my God. Sorry, I'm looking through my notes. And the last thing I have is I saw Kyle get abducted, question mark.
What?
Oh, yeah. At the end of the last episode, Kyle got warbled up into oh, God, that's not out yet, guys. A cow gets abducted, but it's really just a one-off
it's a
gag.
One-off, like, that's what I was like, what? Because even I forgot that happened.
Keep an ear out for when the cow gets abducted. Let us know when you see it.
I can't wait to soundscape that just in the background.
Yeah. You should cut it and put it at the very end of the episode after like all the sign-offs and stuff.
That'd be fucking funny.
Anyways.
It's like a little post-credits gag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's all of the run-ins with them that you guys have had so far.
Yeah, and we just know that there's a weird, uncanny motherfucker.
Taipan?
Yeah, Taipan. Oh, I hate that. Ooh, I hate that guy.
Yeah, he's weird.
Yeah, he's weird, uncanny.
Oh my gosh, the way I've named all... I did naming conventions for like the agent names, and I like it, that's all. I'm not going to elaborate
on
it.
No, yeah, don't elaborate.
Cobra bubbles.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I can't wait to have a cobra and then a bubbles.
Yeah.
Any hoozles. Let's move on to another question.
Yeah.
I also texted Remy to send us questions, so we'll see if he responds.
Remy, send me a question. Sunday. He's not at work.
Well, I know he was doing a little extra work for, like, family Saturday, so he might be doing that today. He was also saying he wasn't feeling well.
Then.
Pick a stall and start. Dancing.
And start dancing.
Are you starting a new home campaign? Or maybe your current campaign is looking for some miniatures? Well, don't worry, because Hero Forge has you covered. Hero Forge offers fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your browser. They also offer custom minis in a variety of materials, including bronze, color standees, and color plastic options. Hero Forge also offers downloadable model files for you to 3D print your unique designs at home. Hero Forge is constantly expanding its catalog of customization options, adding new parts every week and major features like new species and custom posing on a regular basis. And did you know that they offer 3D custom printed dice and custom acrylic keychains? So if you love your OC or you're looking for a really cool gift, you should check that out. What are you waiting for? Visit heroforge.com to start designing your custom miniature and dice today and check back often. New content is added every week. Coming to BackerKit this month, it's Orbital Blues Month. Orbital Blues is an RPG of sad space cowboys, and Orbital Blues Month is group collaboration on BackerKit hosted by Soul Muppet Publishing, featuring a brand new host of content from some of the most wanted outlaws in the Orbital Blues third-party publishing space. There's going to be 6 different campaigns running throughout April featuring Outlaws and Corporations, Vaporwave Wanderlust, Paramore, Formula Infinity, A Fistful of Stars, and Jupiter in E-flat minor. 5 GMs are big fans of Orbital Blues, as we'll be playing it on our next miniseries, 5 GMs Presents The Crash Gambit. The vibe of that miniseries definitely leans towards Guardians of the Galaxy and Cowboy Bebop, but we really enjoyed the mechanics and character making in Orbital Blues, as you can make big swings to the soundtrack of your choice, plagued by heartbreak, and there's a small shadow of the blues. If this sounds like something that's interesting to you, visit www.backerkit.com and look up Orbital Blues Month.
Sanguis populi, the blood of the people, the dark protectors of the hidden city of Azeroth, deep within the illusory forest, familiar with death as they have eluded it, they are called upon for a desperate task, slaying a creature from the great beyond. Blythe.
This might not be easy, being surrounded by death. I don't understand how they can do it.
Elvira.
Someone must watch the bodies, and none do so as diligently.
Swan.
Into action so fast. I love when we get to go out.
It came from the sky. This great, pale monstrosity.
You just had to sate your hunger. You couldn't have saved it for the beasts.
I prefer the gratuity.
Vampirism is not immortality. It only prolongs the inevitable. Is this the end for Sanguis Populi? Blood in the snow. A tale yet told. Halloween 2025.
Sorceress, lower the barrier for just a moment. Sanguis Populi departs.
Listen to Tales Yet Told wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. For Adam,
oh.
Is this the story you planned on telling, or did the players change your direction in any dramatic way?
Yeah, I think this is the story I planned on telling pretty comfortably, and not to like take away like my players being phenomenal and swapping.
Adam
stuff
cannot
up crazy.
Be derailed by us.
That's true.
Adam knows how to control us so well. He knows us so intimately.
He's very manipulative. I mean that in the kindest way possible. Like in terms of GMing, he like knows how to steer us.
Yeah, Not to my own horn.
Toot it.
Post being like a full-time GM and GMing for a really long time. Post my first couple of times GMing, I have not been truly derailed in a very, very long time. The last time there was some pseudo derailment in a home game was because I was too lenient of a GM and I decided to, because I didn't want to make someone roll up a new character session
bird.
One. Yeah, that fucking bird. that I got like, it was soft derailment. And even then I was able to kind of pull it back into where it needed to go. I know my players very well. I know typically how they're going to behave and react to things. Every once in a while they'll throw me a wrench, but for the most part, it's typically not an issue I have to worry about. And in this specific game, what I wanted was a cross-country road trip that cared about like the love and care that the people traveling had, and I love driving. When I first got my license, I really loved driving. It was just phenomenal. I drive up to June Lake to go camping once a year. Typically, it's like a six, seven hour drive. I did the hand thing, guys. It's like a 6 or 7 hour drive. I want to drive cross country one day. That's probably why I'm doing this. I have 27 snow globes from 27 different states. I'm trying to get all 50. I do love the concept of like the world and driving through it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing I want to do. And so I had gotten into a car accident in my early 20s, and it really threw me off of driving for a long time. And as I've been with Kim, I've been driving a lot more because she doesn't like to drive. And that has really brought back my love for driving and like long distances. And road trips are so fun. I know some people don't like them, but the road trips are like, it's never about where you're going. It's about like having fun in the car. We play like car games. We'll pass the phone around and pick songs. Like we give each other color to pick songs. And so that has been important to me. This was just about the road trip and the weird shit that people talk about, and I love cryptids. Jesse and I had a cryptid podcast. Don't go find it.
It's on SoundCloud. Easy.
No. Yeah. Jesse,
actually,
no.
Don't go find it because the art that I did for it is buns.
No, it's okay.
I like it.
I like it so much. It's cartoony, but I think it's good cartoony. But anyways, and so I think that this is exactly the story I want to tell because I know who my players are, and I knew that they were going to bring so much of themselves into it, and I just feel like we've all put a lot of like. This is the most us 5GM season. Like every 5GM season is 5GM season, but this is the most of like us. We're playing so much. We're playing characters that are so close to us, you know?
Self-insert.
Yay. Yeah.
Yay.
Interesting that Talon self-insert is a boy.
Anyway. Oh. The audience can't see the face that Taylor just made.
In fact, I can say that I kiss women. Shut up. Shut up. I'm raising my fist at you.
I did stop you from having the mechanic join us on the adventure because he very clearly wanted to join us. And
I, for the life of me, and I think you're one of the funniest people I know personally, for the life of me could not figure out why that was the thing you decided to settle on. Because I was thinking like, no, he's not. And so then I'm like, this mechanic's going to have to get defensive. Like, the mechanic's like, dude, I don't want to hang out with you guys.
I just wanted lunch.
I just thought it was real funny to me. I loved it. I loved every second of it.
It was so funny. But I was like, what a weird bit to like, and this is the bit we're going all in on.
Jesse chooses bits. He chooses them.
Oh, yeah.
And those bits, we ride with
Jesse.
Them.
Yeah. Jesse will die on a bit.
Yeah, he will. Oh, my God.
I'm my number one fan. That was a funny bit to me, and I loved it. If you guys liked it, good for you, but...
Randomly like, yeah, like, that guy's trying to ride with us, and I don't think we should let him.
And Mona was being like, I don't think that's the case. Like, and then the way that Jesse was like... Javi, you have to bring it up, like, right now, like, right now, like, right now, at this instance, as we're trying to get, like, the car to go stay at the hotel for a discount. Oh, my God.
Anyways, let's jump to another question.
Anyways, besties, here's Wonderwall.
I think we did five. I did five.
Yeah, you're right.
Single. I don't think we've done six.
What has been your favorite guest episode so far?
Okay. That's like a multifaceted because I've
because you recorded most of them. Yeah,
and
some
of them aren't out yet.
Yeah.
There's one I did with Juicy Garland and Rara Storytime, and it is a really good episode. I'm really excited to do that. Yeah, we all brought our A games. It was an interesting story. A lot of my family drove trucks, and so it was a fun, interesting one to me. It's about truck drivers. It's a fun one. It was a concept episode. When I was pitching the season and getting the season ready and doing like the pitch deck that Kim and I designed and all that stuff, I had a handful of guest episodes. Like I think they were on the pitch deck. One of them being like there were high concept episodes mainly. One of them being an episode that mainly took place over ham radio. Over trucker ham radio, where two truckers communicate with each other that episode was very heavily inspired by what is it? Oh my gosh, Alice Isn't Dead, a podcast, right? No, Alice Isn't Dead is the game.
It's Alice is Missing.
The
little game that you play entirely through text.
No, Alice is Missing is the game that you play through text.
Yeah.
Alice Isn't Dead is a podcast.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yeah, Alice Isn't Dead. Yeah, Alice Isn't Dead is a story based podcast it's really good. It's really interesting. I advise you listen to it. And I was in a multimedia class in like a summer class in college, and the professor was like, "Oh, like we're listening to this, and we're gonna like learn about like the multimedia that this group made from Alice Isn't Missing into other stuff." Or Alice Isn't Dead, and it's just so good. And that episode was one of like it bloomed from that. Another really fun guy. God, they're all so fun. I did Kim a favor. And,
oh yeah, that's the one I want to talk about.
Yeah, go ahead, Kim.
Oh yeah. So the one instance of fan service that Adam has done me so far would be episode 10, because I'm really big fans of Transplanar RPG, and I'm really big fans of C and Connie, and I was like, what if we asked Cian Connie to be on our season? Would that be kind of cool? Maybe, perhaps. And Adam was like, yeah, I don't see why not. Go ask him. And so I did. And then Adam was like, would you be okay being in the episode? And I was like, you don't have to, though, because I know these guest episodes like don't have the kids in them. And he was like, yeah, I'll make it work. And it was such a blast to like record, and just for me personally to get to work with Connie and C, because I'm such a big fan of both of them and how they just do their character work and everything, and just watching them kind of go, despite the fact that the day that we recorded, Discord decided to like freaking shut down for an hour, and I was like, well, this is messed up.
And then we had to jump onto Google Drive or like Google, like,
yeah, Google Meets, which also had
Google
a timer.
Meets crashed after the timer because like it ends
yeah,
up
because
it timer.
Has a timer because it's the free plan because that's stupid. But luckily Discord was up, and so it was like there was like bits of just like it being split and us like not being on call for like a few minutes and figuring things out. But even then, it was just so much fun to like record and work with them and just to watch them do their thing that they're really good at.
Incredibly good at.
So for me personally, like, that's one I hold very specially to my heart, because I just love that one. And Adam did me a bit of fan service there. Love you.
Sorry, I'm going to talk, because I love all the guest episodes. And then, like, prepping and planning for them was so much fucking fun. It's the most guests we've gotten to have on 5GMs.
Mm-hmm.
I got to pick so many eclectic people in the space that we love so much. I'm trying to do it fast, because I want to talk about it forever, because guest episodes are, like, delight to me.
Oh, I also had a lot of fun, because I sat in and did tech for one that...
We had our first non-5GM GM for the first time.
It's an entirely guest episode. Yeah, really. It's gonna have you for like maybe 2 minutes in the beginning, and then it's just entirely guests.
None of us are in it, and so it's the first time where like 5GMs truly just got to put on other amazing creators and people, and we just got to sit back and do it, which it's amazing that we get to be in a place where we can just do that and produce a cool episode for other people and have it be on our show. Like, that's
that one was really
so
fun to
cool.
sit in on.
Have we finally made it because we're outsourcing our work?
Well, no, I think we're insourcing their work.
No.
Because yeah, we're still doing the editing.
Yeah, and everything. And so, yeah, I know. Unfortunately.
Dang it.
I know. So just so you guys know, we try to listen to every single episode. Obviously, not all of us can listen to every episode that we've edited. It's impossible. We all listen to other podcasts also. Yeah, life is very busy. Sometimes it's grating to listen to yourself. I'm sure other podcasters understand that. Or just if you've ever recorded a video where you're saying happy birthday and heard you singing happy birthday to someone, you're like, why do I sound like that? But Taylan and Jesse, if you guys have gotten through any of the guest episodes, do you have a favorite?
That crazy car chase. The car.
Oh,
the
my
car.
God.
That would have me stressed out.
Is that the first one?
It is.
That's the first one. That one had me stress out the whole...
That one was so fun, because this, again, the whole show is like very cryptic.
Everyone's making plays, and no one was talking to each other.
Making
the plays.
This whole series is so cryptic forward, and I was like, you know what else happens on long trips of road? Abduction. Mm-hmm. Murder. And so I was like, murderer! And they were like, let's go!
Yeah, that one's one that I listened to in full.
Yes, my beautiful babies from across the pond tormenting me.
Oh my god, it was so insane.
Yeah. I mean, the one with the transplaner people. Yeah, and then introducing their characters, and I remember I was listening, I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, that is very
good. It was crazy, but it was still compelling. Like, I was never like, I never was like, this is like getting annoyed. I was like, I was invested, and I'm like, what is happening? These characters, who are they?
Yeah, I think that too is even this far, right? As crazy as these episodes have gotten, I think that might be the episode that deviated the furthest from like the baseline of what our series, what your guys' chunk of the series has been.
Well, because it's an entirely different, it's the other like coin, really. Yeah, the other side of the coin. Yeah.
It's the veil's fully pulled back on like aliens, ghosts, monsters are real. We're the guys who keep it in lock.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you guys have just been on the road. It's like, we've seen weird stuff, you know? Like, it's
yeah.
Very,
we're kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're kids and we're doing things.
That was really like the highlight for me for the guest episodes, is that I wanted them to be very intense and very dramatic. And like, it's all set in the same world, but you guys are experiencing like the through line of like normalcy still, right? Amounts of normalcy. You're just passing through it. But each guest episode is stagnant. It's stagnated in a space in which it's experiencing an immense amount of, you know, cryptids or ghosts or monsters or aliens or whatever. And so that's why it's been very fun for me to do those episodes. They've been a great time. We have some crazy ones coming up.
The freaking ghost, it's not the ghost hunters, the ones where they're doing the freaking film project. That one was so stressful. Yes. Oh my god.
Shout out everyone in that one. What was that? Kelly, Maz,
Ian,
and
Sadie.
So much art.
Yes, yeah. Kelly, Maz, Ian, and Sadie. It's so good. Oh yeah, don't worry. You're good. Well, I think we only have like two left.
Yeah, I'm just doing them the week of.
I think we have three or four left.
Yeah, because we.
No, we have four left.
Yeah. God, guess episodes are so fun.
I know. They're so silly.
Oh, I roll now.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Uno.
Oh, this one's just a silly one. Mm. Are you ready?
Yeah.
It made me giggle when I saw it. This is better than Stranger Things. Why aren't you writing for Netflix?
Because Netflix likes white guys who inflate their ability.
So you couldn't imagine the amount of trauma that's tied up in that. No, I've applied to be a writer at a handful of places, and no one wants me to write for them.
So audience,
I think I applied to at like very early on, right out of college, I applied to some very low level, like writing and assistant positions and editing positions at Netflix. Didn't get hired for those. As I've gotten I'm a bit more of an eclectic writer. I've published stuff here and there. I've written for different TTRPG spaces. I've applied to other places and also Netflix. I think a total of 3 times I've applied to jobs at Netflix. I've never gotten an interview, which there's not to say that people who are getting the Netflix jobs aren't qualified, because I'm positive they have so many amazing writers there. Do I think that sometimes the way the Netflix formula has led to the way in which they handle their series is not ideal for the production of a series? Yeah, we do see really good shows die out or get canceled, which I think is just a circumstance of streaming, less so the writers of the Netflix's fault, just the circumstance of streaming. Thanks. I hope it's better than Stranger Things. I'll try to end it just as good. My goal is to end this season, and everyone's and another episode's gonna come out.
A secret episode is coming out. Oh, yeah.
Well, the good thing is that we could. We it.
Oh, also, what goes I'll say
into,
it now.
Into like well, recording the episodes.
You can't.
We could just record.
You can't go to all 50 American states by driving.
Yeah.
And so we have two. There are 2 states that we will guaranteed not be putting an episode. There's also a soft idea about doing some keeping track of the states we didn't go to, and also keeping track of states that we only spent a little bit of time in, and doing maybe mini graphic novels and stuff like that of events that happened in those states. But that's future us. That's something that we put on the table as this is potential for the season. But I can promise you guys there will at least be 2 longer episodes in the future, well after this season wraps, that will involve our characters going to both Hawaii and I think Alaska.
Yeah.
And so we'll do those. They'll be a silly fun thing. But
the gang dies in a snowstorm.
Yeah.
The gang gets eaten by sharks.
We'll hit episode 50.
The gang gets caught up in a volcano.
Then we'll hit episode 50. You guys will not have seen Alaska or Hawaii, and neither will the gang. But I promise you, in due time, we will eventually get little one-off episodes where
we
go to Alaska.
We die, and then we go to Alaska.
Go to Brazil.
So
the last unicorn can make it to Hawaii.
I think the last unicorn can make it. You get it on a ship, we're good. Yeah, dude.
No.
Oh, it's driving through the ocean. Right. Yeah.
We can make modifications to the last unicorn.
The men in black are real. They can upgrade here.
We have the technology. Yeah. We could convince them. Guys, we only have 2 questions left.
We're actually making pretty solid time.
Wow, guys. Wow. You guys are asking great questions.
Yes, thank you guys so much. Thanks everyone for
Thanks for showing up tonight.
You can't be too nice to them. You got to nag them a little bit.
Oh,
these are decent questions, you guys.
I've heard better questions.
Yeah.
I've had better. Go on.
This one is for me, which I think is a fun one to do. Which episode required the most elaborate sound design? So I was thinking about it, and I was like, different ways in which some of the episodes have been edited and stuff like that. Because a lot, sorry, Taylor's put her cold toes on me.
I got a little bit of warmth, and my body was like
warm side.
Here.
Became lizard.
All right.
Warm dog.
Must go to warm.
Yeah.
So a lot of these episodes have crazy sound design, because one of the requests that Adam made for this season is that the sound design for this one would be very particular and very heavy. So a lot of them have very intense sound design. I would say that one of the more elaborate ones was the tent episode, because it required such meticulous editing on my half of the dialogue and also the placement of tracks and stuff like that to make sure it sounded like there was something freaking hunting us in a tent. And I wanted to sort of capture that tension, and also because of that, it required longer gaps of silence, and because of that, I had to make sure the original audio tracks were clean, pristine, didn't have anything going on, any background noise or whatever. And so that one required a lot of time on my end, just to make sure everything was super clean and that all my T's were crossed and all my I's were dotted. I will also say, so far from what I've edited, the last guest episode, the one with the film camera one, that one I had a lot of fun with, and I think also might be one of my more elaborate ones, because I literally finished it and I went, I think this might be the most horror movie one that I've edited so far, which I think was, and that also required a lot of like interesting sounds and like noises that had to happen because Adam does my favorite noise that he makes. He does the freaking like dinosaur lizard throat thing that is very present. Yeah, it's very present in season one and then was present in our Prehistoric Panic miniseries. And it hadn't made an appearance until that one instance in that episode. And I love freaking messing with the sound in that one. But also just because of what was hunting them pretty much and just the sort of like sound that went into that, and like there's just that one also relied heavily on like sound cues and stuff like that, so that one was also very like elaborate as well. I just have a lot of fun sound designing this season because it's so like there's times where it's so like horror movie-esque and there's also ones that are just us being really goofy, and so the oh my god, I can't think of the word, but like just the difference in which sometimes the episodes kind of go full 180 in like tone and vibe, and I'm like, well, now we're switching it up and it's a silly little episode, or we're just outside and nothing's happening to us and I'm doing dreams
snoring in the background.
I love those. Oh my god, sometimes Talon's like I think the first time I did it Talon texted and was like them like snoring in the background is so silly. Yeah. And I was like, well, sometimes like you need that sort of grounded aspect of like hearing them sleep yeah. while weird things are happening. Punching. And it kind of just is like that sort of like difference in like tone at in the same moment, I think is also very fun because that kind of just encapsulates the series. Yeah. So yeah, I've been having a freaking blast with sound on this.
Kim, you've been fucking killing it on sound on this yeah. one. It's so silly. Like it, you're so.
When funny. You put heartbeats in the background, and then I'm actually anxious.
Yeah, it makes Talon anxious. Oh my
god, dang it!
I remember the first time I like really did that for your season, and I was listening back, and I was like, I've made myself anxious. My heartbeat is elevated currently.
All right, we have one last question.
One more. This is for Adam. What are you most proud of as a GM so far?
That I get to GM for my friends. Like honestly, like
my boy.
Not only that, like it, I think there's something so incredibly special. I could GM for anyone else in this world, and the way that my friends here talk about me as like their favorite GM, like that still matters more to me. Like, and like there's amazing people in this world that like
I have to leave the table
that I want to like game master for, and I want to DM for. Like, there's so many more people in this space that are so talented. Like. All of the guests I've gotten to GM for, like, I just love it. I love that I got to do it. Shout out Jesse for getting my cousin into D&D. And shout out my cousin for being like, dude, you should get this. And then shout out me promoting, I think, from, like, 8th to 9th grade and getting a 3.5 edition box.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I just a series of shout outs and a series of, like, I adore storytelling and I adore getting to let people organically evolve the story as we go. And just in terms of my, you know, most prideful moments as GM is that we've gotten to do cool shit here and then we've gotten to win awards. But on top of that, like this season, like we keep saying, is a love letter to each other. And I am most proud of this season as a game master. I've done a lot of GMing my entire life, but this one is just, it's so special to me. It's been a long time coming. It's been a thing I've sat on for a long time, and I really hope that everyone feels like the love and pride that we have for something like this. That's all.
Yay! Yeah. Everybody give their flowers to Adam.
Thank you.
Do we want to talk about the incident?
Oh yeah, we can just do a couple of little like conversations.
Yeah, I'm down. Yeah. Okay. So the incident.
The hobby hump.
The hobby home.
Yeah, this is for you, Remy. Go ahead and listen to the end of this.
Yeah, shout out Remy. Yeah. Because I don't know how many people are also confused about what happened between
Yeah,
because it's not...
The thing with me and Kim as players, we love to be vague.
We do love
to be
vague. We
love being vague. Like, our characters know, and if you're in the know, you know.
Yeah, and that's so stupid for an audio format, and it's so, like... not particular, but I think the fun part about being vague is also being able to fill in the gaps later.
Yeah.
Anyways, so the incident. This was actually something that Talon and I had started our prep with this season and then roped Jesse into it. Yeah. And then we figured out the whole thing. So Talon and I were like, what if we're sad?
Yeah.
what if we're tragic a little bit?
I love
Yeah, it blindsided me too, because I'm like, oh, we're with buds. And they're like, what if we have sadness? I'm like, oh.
What if there's
sadness? What if I did something to y'all? Like,
yeah, I think that's literally what you said.
What if I slighted y'all and I didn't even kind of realize I did it? Yeah. Like, in the moment. You know?
And that's so silly. No, and then we were thinking about, and even Kim, I was like, is this really dramatic enough? However, I've thought about it, and we'll explain it in full, and then you're probably going to be like, that's it? And then there's a reasoning. So, basically what happened is that during your guys' senior years, was it junior?
No, it was younger.
No, it was younger? It was freshman and sophomore.
Freshman and sophomore.
Because, silly. Yeah, it was freshman and sophomore.
You're right.
Specifically because you guys pretty much haven't been friends all of high
school.
Yes,
you're right, you're right. So, yeah, so this was your sophomore.
You were a freshman.
I was a freshman, you guys were sophomores.
Yeah.
And it was homecoming. And the big thing was is that none of us, well, me and Zeke really didn't want to go to homecoming. Javi was like, I'm going because
I got invited.
Yeah, because sports.
Sports need be popular, make dad happy.
Yeah, sport. And I was going because my mom wanted homecoming pictures, and then we just kind of dragged Zeke along because my mom wanted photos of all of us together and that sort of thing. And then afterwards, the plan was to take the photos, show up for a tiny bit, and then go back to Zeke's to basically kick it for the rest of the night, watch movies, have a fun
nerd shit.
Yeah, do nerd shit, and not be at a dance. And what ended up happening was that Zeke ended up leaving early to go set up the den for movie night. I was supposed to get picked up by Javi to go to Zeke's house. Javi doesn't show up.
Yeah.
Javi leaves me outside the gymnasium, sad and cold, and I have to walk to Zeke's house, which isn't super far, but, like, you know, it's still a walk in your freaking homecoming getup.
Mm-hmm. In the dark.
In the dark.
We're in the country. So.
In the
dark.
In the 80s.
And you're a woman.
And I'm a little, I'm a little lady. I'm like 14 years old.
Yeah, a tiny baby.
Yeah, I'm a tiny little lady, and so I have to walk to Zeke's by myself, and I wait for a good long while for Javi, and I'm like, Javi's not showing, and it's basically, it seems so like small, I think, in the scope of things, and you're like, well, why would that be the thing?
Well,
that
when you're a
over?
Teenager. That's
when
life
you're
or
a
death.
Girl,
when you're a teenage
you're
girl,
a teenage
that's life
girl?
Or death.
You miss your best friend, and your best friend's like, yeah, I'm going to come get you, and then we're going to hang out like old times?
Yeah.
And then you leave me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think also there has to be that balance of, like, if it was so bad, why would we let him on this? Like,
yeah.
So we couldn't have it be something so
bad. We couldn't have it be, like, a super slight.
Yeah,
I think also it's one of those things where, like, so truly they could have just kept hanging out and eventually gotten over it, but because, like, Javi is just the most avoidant motherfucker in the world, it became a, like, we don't hang out anymore situation, because Javi just couldn't apologize.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing about, like, Javi's apology in the hotel episode. The damage was never that, like, Javi did it. Like friends hurt each other sometimes. That's the thing. One time Jesse almost drove back home from Vegas during my 21st birthday party. and that's the best friend thing. Like, you hurt each other. You know someone for so long, you're gonna hurt each other's feelings. It just happens. We're humans, right? And it's not a circumstance of, like, Javi being so in the wrong and they can't forgive him. It's a circumstance of, like, Javi being avoidant and refusing to apologize.
That and, he, like, removed himself.
Yeah, and the apology doesn't fix what he did, but the apology is recognition. Like, I messed up. I'm sorry. We're still friends, right? And, like, that's what was so important about the episode. It's like, no, not everything's fixed, right? Not everything's better. There's still going to be a little bit of awkwardness, but the apology has let us be on the track of, like, oh, wait, we are still friends. You apologize to friends. You know, if you avoid them, it's a person you're not hanging out with anymore, and I think that's what was so special about the apology finally. This is a long time coming, and it reaffirms, like, we are still friends.
Javi's POV of that night.
I love it.
He got invited to go hang out with the seniors, the varsity, at homecoming. Shit was sweet. He got invited back to a house party. Like, you know, how do you pass that up? And how do you in child brain remember the responsibilities that you have when the coolest shit that's ever gonna happen to you is right in front of you? And so there's that end of it also. And then he sucks. Javi's the worst. He'll forget, and then he won't apologize. And that's that. That's him.
And that's Javi.
Yeah, and also the thing with my character is I always had him, like, always have a little separation between Javi, because Zeke is also not confrontational. So like, I think, like, when we first meet, I'm just, like, kind of have small talk. I'm just like, oh, how's it? Nice weather, you know? Like, I purposely was like, I'm not going to, like, emotionally get close to Javi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take your shoes off.
Yeah.
Take your shoes off.
I love it. And I love the little bit of, like, at the end of the hotel episode, us having that little, because, like, when we were like, what if we intentionally had, because the mechanic and kids on bikes were two characters share, like a thing, and Javi and I had, like, basically, like, telekinesis. Yeah. And then, you know, that broke, and that was like the first little instance in which maybe that's coming back. Yeah. And I think that's very silly and very fun.
Yeah, it's very fun.
Love you guys. Anything else we want to talk about from the season this far? Or are we all good?
I think that's most of it.
Yeah, no.
If you take away the last unicorn from me again, we're gonna have problems.
Yeah, understood. Yeah. It blew up. It's blown up, right?
Oh, look, that's gonna be Zeke's evil arc.
Yeah, Jesse becomes the big bad.
Zeke becomes Rambo.
I'm gonna immediately join the secret organization.
Am I gonna get a dog?
Right.
Do you want a dog?
I don't know. Am I gonna get one? We have a Scooby Doo gang. How are we Scooby Doo without Scooby Doo?
It's Scrappy.
What's so funny to me about Scrappy, right, is that he is in the main series, in the cartoon, at most an annoyance, and for whatever reason, the writers of the Scooby-Doo live-action movie were like, ooh, we fucking hate that dog, and made him the actual villain of that movie, and it's so fucking funny to me. I think we love you guys. Thank you guys for sending in questions. Thanks for listening, and bye-bye!
Bye-bye!
Hey, howdy, hey, thank you for listening to 5 Jams in a Trench Coat. Be sure to follow us on social media, at 5 Jams in a Trench Coat on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok, and at 5 Jams Official on Blue Sky. You can also check out our website at 5jamsinatrenchcoat.com. We're also on YouTube. Just search up 5 Jams in a Trench Coat to watch us play video games and other variety content. If you like this episode, please rate us 5 stars and leave a little comment. And if you'd like to support us further, you can leave us a little tip on our Ko-Fi at ko-fi.com/5jamsinatrenchcoat. Thanks, and catch you in the next episode.